Good morning. July 14th. Wow. I want you to know that the Lord gave this sermon to me yesterday in the morning before all of the nonsense that went on yesterday. But he's been percolating it in me for quite a while. The name of the sermon is, What Does Trusting God Look Like? So sometimes we as Christians try to help people by saying things that we think will help them. But what usually happens is that our quick little sayings end up condemning people because they don't know what it looks like. They don't know what you just said, and they feel like they probably should know what you just said. And maybe even you don't know. One of my favorite ones is, oh, just take your thoughts captive. Hello? How do you take a thought captive that generates from your subconscious and you just react? God has a way, but you need to be trained in it. And this is what people say sometimes. Just trust God. And I say, okay, you first. Show me what that looks like. Because it's not just a mind over matter thing. The trust is built over time as we get to know God. Right? So, let's get started. You got your Bibles? If not, the scriptures are up here. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I'm using the New Living Translation, second edition. So this verse shows exactly how trusting the Lord looks like. It's counterintuitive for our selfish nature to trust God. I want to take apart this verse and I want to look at it carefully because if you don't understand what you're reading, you're not going to do it. And yet it's vital in the times we live, right? If we're not trusting God, who are we trusting? Let me know how that works for you. Okay. We're going to look at that phrase, all your heart. Now, some of this stuff I'm getting from gotquestions.com. That's a great website if you've got questions. They're really thorough, and they're Bible-based. And so if you ever get into one of those things where you don't know what you're reading, go to gotquestions.com, type in the scripture, and then they'll give you a commentary on it. To trust in the Lord with all our heart, we must rely wholly on God's promises. If you don't read your Bibles, you're not going to know what those are. That's why it's important to read your Bibles. Know God's promises. You got to know his wisdom and his power, and you got to know how he loves us. Transition, maybe? How he loves us in every circumstance. The second thing I want to look at is the second phrase is, do not depend on your own understanding. See, human understanding is subject to error. You don't know everything, David. He is the one we can lean on and trust. We should trust the Lord with all our heart because our human understanding is tainted by sin. We have limited wisdom. We have impulsive assumptions and faulty emotions. Would you agree? Yeah. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but its end is death. We're not always right. And this verse reminds us that if we're using our own human understanding, that we can sometimes be wrong. And that wrong turn can lead to death. Oh, I know a lot of people who've taken that wrong turn, and it's not pretty. Sin taints our understanding, and it leads us to destruction. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 says, with the Lord's authority, I say this. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He said, live no longer as the Gentiles do. I want you to catch this. He's talking to believers, and he's telling them, quit living like Gentiles, like people who don't know God, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Paul's talking to believers, and he's telling them, don't do that. Don't live like that. You have the Holy Spirit of God empowering you to live in the Spirit and say no to our stinking, selfish understanding, right? And our knowledge is partial and incomplete. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. I don't know why God didn't tell me everything. Well, yes, I do. But he doesn't. He gives us all parts and pieces. And we kind of have to get along to get the whole picture. Yeah. So, are you going to base your understanding on what is partial, what is sinful, or what is destructive? Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Well, that's the God I want to trust. He knows the end from the beginning. I want to trust in him with all my heart and not lean on my selfish thinking. So let's look at the third part. Seek his will in all you do. That's how we trust him. Do we do that? If you don't, start. Revelation 3:1 says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars, which is Jesus. He says, I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. And Acts 15:8 says, God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. That's a powerful promise. But if you don't know Jesus this way, you're not going to be able to trust him fully. You just aren't. But I want to trust someone who knows all things. How about you? Jeremiah 27:5, with my great strength and powerful arm, I made the earth and all its people and every animal. I can give these things of mine to anyone I choose. I feel the reason that it's difficult for us to trust God is because we don't know him fully. Remember what I said? It's a process. It's a daily walk with him. You know, when we're first saved from our sin and we're learning to walk with Jesus in this new forgiveness and this new freedom, We want to know him more. We can't get enough of reading our Bibles. We can't get enough of worship. We can't get enough of him as we pray. Remember those days? That was our first love. The Bible tells us to seek our first love, because the storms and trials of life can wear us down. And we can start depending on our own thinking, our own understanding. And sometimes we ask ourselves, so why is God letting this happen to me? How many have ever said that? Yeah. Yeah, God, come on. This wave slaps us in the face. And we're sitting there, oh, God, God, where are you? Why? Why am I going through all this? I'm all going to tell you why. It's in times of storms and trials that our trust actually grows. .. If we let it. We have choices. We have choices. John 16:33, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Not me, him. Here on earth, what does that say? You will have many trials and sorrows? Jesus said that? But take heart. I have overcome the world. He's warning us. We're going to have trials. We're going to have sorrows. But why do we have to go through all this? I'll tell you why. Because one day, we, as followers of Christ, will be ruling and reigning with him. Now, our life here is a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Look around this room. How many people are missing? This part of our lives is here, and then it's not. But we as believers have a hope that when we pass through that shadow of death, we are going to be in the presence of Almighty God outside of this time warp we're stuck in right now. And we will rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. But we have to learn from our trials. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And in Revelation 5:10, it says, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. That's us that he's talking about. If we don't learn how to trust God, we will not be equipped to reign with him. So how does he do this in us? 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. In our world today, that's getting more and more difficult because people are calling evil good. And they're saying that what we thought was good is now become evil. Where have we heard that scripture? Our training in righteousness will help us develop the sense to know between right and wrong. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Why is training so important? Yes, we can be useful in the kingdom of God here on earth. That's helpful. But remember, our lives are just a vapor compared to eternity. This training, this obstacle course we call life, is training us to rule and reign with Him. This is when our trust will be complete. John 20, 29 says, "Then Jesus told him, 'You believe because you have seen me.'" But this is our blessing, guys. "Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." We're asked to believe in a God who we've never seen with our eyes. He tells us that He is a three-person being. I'm sorry, guys, but I don't have a point of reference on that. Have you ever seen a three-person being? What an oddity. And yet God reveals Himself to us that way and says we're blessed if we believe, even though we haven't seen. And once our faith has been established by God, we can trust Him completely when the storms and trials come. I have some things to share with you today. Some of you have already heard that I've been diagnosed with breast cancer. This has been a shock to me and to my family. I have believed since I asked Jesus to break the curse of cancer in my family that this would never come near me. Never, ever. So when I heard the words that the doctor said to me, it didn't register right at first. It was like, yeah, right. What do human doctors know? To say the Lord and I had a wrestling match is an understatement. I wrestled with Him for many days. Many days. Did I hear Him right? What's going on? I used the authority of Jesus' name to break that curse in my family. Break it. I could have had a crisis of faith. But I believe in Him. I believe in God. And more importantly, I trust Him. In fact, He actually asked me in the midst of this wrestling when He finally had me pinned, "Would you trust me?" I didn't have any other choice. I just went, "Of course. Who have I in heaven but you? Of course I trust you." He's all my life. He's everything to me. Everything. And you know, I have not been afraid, not one minute, when it finally did register in my head. And guys, I don't have just one type of cancer. No, 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 no. I have three. Overachiever that I am. I have three types of cancer. And you know what? God's still bigger than all of them. And what Satan has tried to destroy my faith in, God's going to turn it around and build all of our faith, because He's just that way. I have had a supernatural peace, not as the world gives, but Jesus said that He gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And I'm letting it guard my heart and my mind. I don't allow thoughts of death or fear of death to enter my thinking. If this is how God wants to take me out, okay. Remember, for Christians, death is a shadow. I walk through shadows all the time. I don't have to fear it. because when I walk out of this time warp, I'm going to be in eternity with him. But you're not getting away with having me gone that easy. I'm not done yet. I have a lot more for God to do. And one of the things, my life verse that I believe the Lord gave me was that to whom much is given, much is required. And I'm going to ask you guys to follow me as I follow Christ. I'm inviting you in to watch me trust him. Because as a pastor and people, a person who loves you guys so much, I want you to know how to trust him. Watch me as I follow him. And be encouraged. Be encouraged. You know, I have been asking the Lord since I moved into my new neighborhood, how can I reach the people in this neighborhood, Lord, especially the women? I thought, well, maybe I'll get to know my neighbor next door to me. I mean, the minute we drove up, she's been building relationship with me, and maybe I'll just feel her out and see if the ladies in the neighborhood want to do like a Bible study or something. Just a thought I had. I got invited, it's probably been 3 weeks now, to a Relief Society get together, and I was counseling that day, and my last appointment was going to get over around 6. That day, the person I was counseling was really struggling, and so we went a little longer, like 6:15. And I knew I had to make this Relief Society meeting, or hangout. And so I quickly finished with my client, and then I ran over to her house. Where are we going? And we walked over to this neighbor's house. I have been to Relief Society meetings. Let's just say they're not my favorite. And I've been shunned a lot when I go, because I'm not like people that are there. But God went before me, and he was telling me, you are to have fun with these people. You let your light shine, so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we had a blast. We played the dumbest game. But we had so much fun doing it. And the lady that brought me, she was over in another group. I had this groupie of ladies. We were all hanging out and laughing and going on and building relationship. And I thought, wow, Lord, this is awesome. Wow. And then about a week ago, I had a neighbor lady who wasn't at this Relief Society meeting. She came down 9 o'clock at night. Was it like 9? I think it was like 9 o'clock at night. And I was sitting in the living room. Dave had gone on into the bedroom, and she comes to the door, and I open it, and I'm like, oh, well, hello. And Haley was, my dog, is just acting weird. So I came out onto the front porch with her. And she goes, you have been on my heart. What's going on? And I thought, Lord, what do I do? So I proceeded to tell her about my diagnosis and the terror that came over her face. And I grabbed her hand and I said, no, it's okay. It's okay, God's got this. I'm okay. I'm not afraid. I'm okay. And immediately she was, oh. And we spent the next 20 minutes just visiting. And she hadn't seen inside the house with all the stuff we'd been doing, so I took her on a little mini tour at 9 at night. Did I really do that? Yeah, so anyway, she went on home. And then I thought, well, by tomorrow, the whole ward will know that I have breast cancer. You know, and how they get there. She told me, oh, well, we'll get meals together, and we'll get people over here. If you need, while you're down recuperating from surgery, we'll get people over here. We'll clean your house, and we'll do. And I'm, thank you. I have people. But she was really good. So last week, I decided I better tell my neighbor personally. Because, you know, she's been the one to bring me to get to know all these people. And so I did tell her, and we're meeting on Monday. And I know God's going to give me an opportunity to share his goodness again. Oh, and then we had a random neighbor stop. I bought this used Harvest Right freeze dryer. Does anybody have one of those? They are heavy. And that's like, oh, gross understatement. So Dave and I, we had a young kid help us get it into the car. But we're standing there in our driveway, and we're looking at this thing going, okay, how are we going to get it out of the car? And just then, some neighbors pulled up in their pickup, and both the husband and wife get out, and they come up the thing and the driveway, and they go, do you need help getting that out of there? And we're like, thanks, God. And we said, yes, can you help us? So they helped us get it out, and we're just like, wow. And so we started talking. Where do you guys live? Oh, we live over here. And she goes, well, what do you do? Talking to me. I said, I'm a biblical counselor. And Dave and I are pastors in a church. And she's like, for real? Like, you teach the Bible? And I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm really praying about doing a Bible study for the neighbor ladies. Oh, wow. I would love that. Well, I'll let you know. I'll let you know if I do that. I went back in that house, and I was like, Lord, you are going before me. I prayed for this neighborhood. You put me here. It's not an accident. Help me win a few. Well, help me win them all, but I know that only a few probably will come. But that's okay. That's up to him. But I've invited them in to this journey, as I have invited you today, to watch me as I follow Christ. Because I want you, dearly loved, to trust God no matter what. You see, I want them to see the true Jesus. My Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. He is not a created being that just progressed to godhood. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is my Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And he is my Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And I trust him. Worship team. There may be some of you here today that are facing storms or trials in your life right now. And you're wondering, hey, God. God knows what's going on. Dare I say, he's allowing it to train you in righteousness, to teach you that he is faithful. He's waiting and wanting to use these trials in your life. Don't give Satan any glory for it. He's on a leash. God knows what he's doing. God wants you to remember to trust him because you are going to rule and reign with him one day. How many of you are ready for that? Yeah. We're in training. We're in boot camp. But you are to learn to trust him more and more as he equips you. And my word to you today is let him. Let him train you. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, prayer team, you can come on up. We have people here to pray with you and encourage you. But I want you to see what I wrote here. God sees you. Jehovah El Roy, he sees you. And he loves you. And he wants you to trust him completely.